Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. If you've got your Bibles this morning, or if you want to follow along on your iPhone or Android or your tablet, you can locate John chapter 20. That's where we're going to be at this morning. We're specifically only going to read two verses, verse 30 and 31. So it's John 20, 30 through 31. We'll read those in just a minute, and then we're going to read them a little bit later too. So if you're not familiar with John 20, 30, 30, well, if you are familiar with it, let me say it this way. This might seem like an odd Sunday before Thanksgiving message, just to be honest with you. And so I'm going to kind of tell you kind of how we got here and then what we're going to be doing. Because it's going to be a... what's the word here? An audacious plan. Okay? So, over about the last 12 days, three things happened that are normally unrelated events, in my life at least, that kind of coalesced to get us to today. Well, really four. So, four events. Really four events. So, number one is we finished Daniel. You know, we finished Daniel 2 weeks ago. And it wasn't really time to start Christmas series yet, because I traditionally don't start our Christmas series till the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So in my language and the way I word it, we had two one-off weeks, which means you're not really going to do anything that preaching-wise it's a series or kind of goes together, or if it is, it's just two messages and that's it. So I knew I wanted to do one on the Reformation, so that was last week. So that meant I had another one-off message this week. And I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I wasn't sold on it like 100%. So that's number one. Number two, I had finished in my devotional reading time what I had been doing, and I needed something else to go into. And so I don't know if you've ever been in that place where like you've been doing something for a while, and that's just what you've been doing. And then when you get done, you're kind of at this like, all right, what do I do now? Well, that's where I was. So I started reading the Gospel of John, which will be very important for the rest of how this conversation goes, or this explanation. So I began reading the Gospel of John, and I was like, man, John, so good, so good. Which I hadn't read John in a while. So I was like, reading John, man, really good. Number three, I needed to plan our Christmas series, which was about 4 weeks. And I had an idea, but I didn't really like it. I was about 95% sure on it. So I was like, well, okay, we'll go with it. You know, that's it, what it is right now. So we'll go with it. And then I began planning. So this is number four. I began planning our 2022 preaching calendar. Now, if you don't know what our preaching calendar is, you've probably never heard of that. But what I try to do is every year in the month of November, I kind of go ahead and lay out some ideas of what we want to do next year. Jacob and I actually did this last year and planned the whole kingdom of God, kingdom and government, kingdom of justice, and Daniel all out in about December of last year, maybe, somewhere around in there. So end of the year, I start looking toward the next year of what we want to do. And I've got a spreadsheet. I'm a spreadsheet nerd. I love a good spreadsheet. And so I had a spreadsheet of everything series-wise that I've preached on since I came. And so I had them. And I realized that our major book series is, we were missing some pieces of Scripture. So we had done prophets, right? We just did Daniel. So we're not going to do prophets for a while. Because, whew, Daniel got a little rough there at the end, didn't it? But we made it through. I realized we had done a series a long time ago on the kings of Israel. So I was like, well, we're not probably going to talk about that. We've done Ruth. Those are both history, Old Testament history. And on Wednesdays, we've periodically done Psalms. And we're in the 90s of the Psalms. So I was like, well, wisdom literature. We've kind of covered that base. Then we've done James. And we've done Ephesians. Those are both epistles. And so I realized we had a couple choices. We could do Gospels, Acts, the Law. Nobody takers on that? Yeah. Or we could do Revelation. And so I began praying, and I began remembering, hey, you're reading John right now in your devotional time. And so over the course of the next week or so, after all of this stuff is coming together, we began to, you know, kind of pray about it. And I don't know. I was just let, here's what we're going to do. Okay. It's not like God told me. I don't like to use that language, okay? Because that means, whew, you better absolutely know that God told you. So I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, here's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, here's the audacious part. But I plan on being here. So it's going to be like a 3 to 3.5 year plan, okay? But I plan on being here, so we're good, right? So what we're going to do is today we're going to start that journey. Now, fear not, we're going to take breaks, big breaks along the way. But over the next 3 to 3.5 years, we're going to go through all of the writings of John. So we're going to do John's gospel. Then we're going to do the epistles. So that's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And then, if you can hang on, we'll eventually get to Revelation in about 2024. So, just hang on, all right? Hang on. Right? You got to hang on. 2024, all right? So, that's kind of where we're going to plan. So, it's going to take us. We're going to start today. Next week, we're going to look at John's prologue, which is verses 1 through 18. 1 through 18. And that's going to be our Christmas series. And we're going to look at Christmas through the lens of John's prologue, which is chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We'll take a 4-week break at the beginning of the year to talk about some mission, vision, goal, core values type thing. And then at the end of January, we're going to hit the ground running in John 1:19, and we're going to go for about 8 to 10 weeks. And then we'll take a break. Then we'll pick up another 4 or 5 weeks. Then we'll go a little bit longer. And then in this fall, we're going to run all the way as far as we can. Because my goal is to get to John 20 by Easter of next year. Of 2023. So that we will read the resurrection passage in John in Easter of 2023. Then we'll take a break. Then we'll do John's epistles. We'll take a break. Then we'll do Revelation. All right? So 3 to 3.5 year plan. I plan on being here. I hope you plan on being here because it's going to be fun. I am super excited about this. I've never planned this far out. So usually it's like 8 months and we're good, you know. But that's what we're going to do. All right. Well, y'all going to have to hang on, Miss Jackie. You're going to have to hang on. I thought you were 39 and holding, right? All right, so today what we're going to do, right? Today what we're going to do is we are going to talk about who John is, the author of this series of books, right? And then we're going to talk about the purpose for which John wrote the gospel, since that's where we're starting. All right? So, who is John? Whenever you read the gospels, you are introduced to at least two people who are named John. The first person that you normally come across in the Gospels, especially in Luke's Gospel, you hear about this guy first, and then even in John's Gospel, John the Baptist, or baptizer, is the first John that you hear about. Now, John the Baptist, however you want to refer to him, was a very ascetic man. He lived out in the wilderness. One of the Gospels says he wore camel skin coat and had a leather belt, and he ate locusts and honey. That sounds awesome, doesn't it, right? Yes, that's what we're going to have for Thanksgiving, locusts and honey. But that's who he was. And he came, we would consider him today the fire and brimstone preacher. His message was, repent, for the time is near. And that was John. He was actually Jesus' cousin on his mom's side of the family. And so even though we don't really know that they really had a lot, that they interacted a lot as kids, John probably at some point became associated at least with a religious group that was popular in that time called the Essenes. If you've ever heard of Qumran and the scrolls at Qumran and all of that, that was the Essene community. And John was at least associated with them in some way, shape, or form. And so John was a very ascetic man. He came as the forerunner to Jesus. Here's the thing you need to know about John the Baptist. Very influential. We will talk about him even in our Christmas series, but we'll definitely talk about him at different points as we look at the Gospel of John. However, he did not write the Gospel of John, the Epistles, or Revelation. He's not the author of any of those. Okay? The second John that you meet in the Gospels is in fact the author of all of these five books, the Gospel, the Epistles, and Revelation. He is what we'll refer to as John the Disciple. Now, if you read the Gospel of John, you will not find his name mentioned one time. You won't find his name. You won't find John the Disciple. How he's referred to in the book is the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's his nomenclature for himself. You may think, well, golly, that's kind of prideful and arrogant, isn't it? Whatever. Maybe. But as you'll see throughout, and we'll talk a little bit about this morning, as you'll see, that's probably not a bad nomenclature for how for a descriptor of himself. So anyway, so John is he's the disciple, he's in the group of 12, and he's influential. Now, I want to talk just a minute about how John becomes in the disciple group. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the story of how Jesus and John first meet up. All right? All of them agree that the first time that Jesus meets John is with his brother James and his father Zebedee, and they are mending nets on the seashore of Galilee. So right there's some things we can know. Number one, his father is named Zebedee. Very few of the other disciples, their relatives are mentioned. Very few of them. In fact, he's one of the only ones. We don't know who, you know, Thaddeus's father was, but we do know who John's father is, Zebedee, right? Second thing we know is he has a brother named James, probably an older brother because James is usually mentioned first. So it's James and John. So it's probably James is the older brother. We also know that he is a blue-collar worker because he is mending nets by the sea. That meant it was morning time or early in the day when Jesus met these three by the seashore, because you only mended nets after you had been fishing the night before. So they would go out, and usually at least two boats would go out, and they had a big net, and they would tie rocks at the bottom, and the bottom of the net would sink to the ground, and then they would start out like this, and then they would make the circle tighter, 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 and finally they would pull up the bottom of the net, and that's how they would catch the fish. So they did that all night, and so Jesus meets them in the morning after they've gotten back, early morning, midday, and they're mending their nets. And that's when Jesus says, hey, come follow me. Right? So we know right off the bat a couple things. He's got a father named Zebedee. He's got a brother, probably an older brother named James, and he is a blue-collar worker. What that also means is that John and James did not make it in the upper echelons of the religious education system. Right? Doesn't mean they're dumb. It just means that they didn't get selected to go further in education in their time. Because see, what would happen is usually young men, they would go to school in the local synagogue, and if you were the top of the top at this level, you moved on. And if you were the top of the top at this level, then you moved on. And at some point, you would go up to a rabbi who you liked, who you agreed with, and you would become his disciple. And you would say, hey, I would like to follow you. And then the rabbi would ask you questions, and if you passed the questions, you passed the test, then he would say, yes, you can follow me. If you didn't pass the test, guess what? You went back and worked and most likely did what your father did. Hence, that's why James and John are both mending nets by the Sea of Galilee, because their father Zebedee was a fisherman before them. So, get the picture. Blue-collar worker. He didn't make it to follow the rabbis of the day. But Jesus walks along the seashore and says, hey, I want you to follow me. See the reversal? Usually the young guy would say, hey, I want to follow you. Yes or no? Jesus comes up there. In fact, I read this week, there was only one other known religious teacher who did what Jesus did, where he picked people. It's just totally outside of the box. Jesus walks by the seashore. They're doing their work. And he says, hey, I want you to follow me. right? You to follow me. Now we know, that James and John were also in business with Peter in a fishing business. Luke tells us in Luke 5 that they were all in business together. And the Gospels tell us that at one point, one of Jesus' early miracles is that he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And if you notice in that text that Peter's mother-in-law lives next to the like priest in their area, like the highest religious teacher in their area, which means, guess what? These guys were pretty successful fishermen. That's how the city would be laid out. They, you know, as you got more money, you got more toward the center of the city, and as you didn't, you got further out. And so these guys were in business together, and they were pretty successful. And Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, I want you to follow me." And at the drop of a hat, what do James and John do? Drop everything, leave their dad sitting in the boat to mend the nets by himself, and they go off and they follow Jesus. Remarkable. Now, as the story goes on, and you can read this in the Gospels and in Acts, John becomes a leading disciple in the group of 12. For example, when Jesus takes three disciples up a high mountain and transfigures and shows them a glimpse of his glory, who does he take with him? Peter, James, John. When Jesus is getting ready to prepare the last Passover meal, he sends two disciples into the city to prepare the meal. Who does he send? Peter and John. On the last night, in the last few moments before Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asks three disciples, he says, "Come a little further with me and pray with me." Who does he ask? Peter, James, and John. When Jesus is on the cross, dying, and he sees his mother there, who's the only disciple who's there? John. And what does Jesus ask John to do? Basically treat his mother like he's his own mother. And ask John to care for his mom for the rest of his life, the rest of her life, which John does. When they hear the news about Jesus not being in the tomb 3 days later, who are the first two disciples who get there? Peter and John. In fact, John beats Peter to the disciple, but is scared and don't want to look in. After the resurrection happens and after Jesus ascends back to heaven, who is one of the leading disciples in the group? Peter, James, John. In fact, as they're walking into the temple and a man asks them, a man who can't walk or who's blind, I believe, asks them, "Hey, can you give me some money?" Do you remember what John says? "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk." And immediately the man's healed. And John continues after that to be a leading member of the church. His brother as well was a leading member of the church as well until he was killed by Herod Agrippa. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 12. But John continues on. And in fact, here's the most amazing part about this story about John, at least to me, is that he, when he begins to follow Jesus, listen to me, when he begins his journey, when he leaves the nets and follows Jesus, he is a teenager. Now we know he's a teenager because after that, we don't know, I can't remember the exact timeline, if it's a year or 2 years or whatever, but after that, Jesus is approached and he's got his whole disciples with him and he's approached by a tax collector. And he's asked, "Are you and your disciples not going to pay the temple tax?" Now, let me explain that really quickly. Every year, every male over the age of 20 was required to pay a small, like a shekel or something, like a small amount of money to go toward the temple. Every year you had to pay it one time. And it was every male who was 20 years of age and older. Here's the interesting thing. The whole group of disciples is with Jesus when he's confronted by this tax collector. And do you know who he pays the temple tax for? Himself and for Peter. So what does that immediately tell us? Jesus is over 20 years old. Peter's over 20 years old. What does that tell us about the rest of the group? They're not 20 years old. So when John and his brother leave the nets, they're absolutely teenagers. Some scholars would even say that John could have been as young as 15 years old when he left everything to go follow Jesus. He's the only disciple that doesn't get martyred. He's the only disciple that dies of natural causes. And yet he lives into the 90s when he writes the book of Revelation. An amazing person. Can you imagine everything he saw and everything he did simply because he was willing to leave everything to go follow Jesus as a teenager? And God used him to transform the world. So after all the events that he saw, after everything that he went through, he decided at some point in his life to record the stories that he remembered, that he was inspired to write about Jesus. And they're collected in the Gospel of John. Fabulous book. We'll get into more of how it's structured and all that next week. But it's got a lot of things. The seven I am statements. Jesus gives seven signs. And he does all of these other things in the book. And in the kind of toward the end, in John 20, 30 through 31, he tells us why he wrote the book. And let's read it together. Here we go. Now, Jesus did many other signs. Signs is John's word for miracles. So Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Okay? But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Let's talk about that for a minute. What can we learn about John's purpose? What do we need to take home about the entire gospel that we're about to go through? Three things that come out of this really quickly. Number one, Jesus did a whole lot of other things that John could have put in, but he chose not to. Specifically, John says in verse 30, he says Jesus did many other signs, miracles, right? He did many other miracles. John's only going to highlight seven. All in all, Jesus did 37. So there's 30 other ones that we at least know about that John's not going to include. But he says, I'm including these because they're important. We'll talk about that in a minute. So in other words, what you're going to read in John is not everything that Jesus did. Not everything. But it's enough. It's enough. And it's enough for what? The second thing, it's enough for what? What John includes all of these things. Why? And here's in verse 31, he gives us a so that or a but. But these are written in him. Remember, whenever you read so that, you are about to read a purpose statement in the New Testament. But these are written. These things that I have written, these seven signs of Jesus, these teachings that I've given you, these interactions that I've wrote, these are what? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So in other words, John says, if my gospel is all you ever had, it is all you would ever need to know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Thankfully, we have more than that. But John is telling the people he's writing to, this is all you need to know that Jesus is truly the Messiah. So whatever we read in John, its focal point is to bring us to the realization that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God, period. But that's not all. Because if John put a period there, what would that be? It would be nothing more than an intellectual understanding. But he doesn't. He puts a comma. And he adds one more thing. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. So John has a twofold purpose. Number one is so that you will intellectually know that Jesus, you will be able to look and come to a logical conclusion that Jesus is the Christ and Messiah. He is the Son of God. But secondly, that's not his only goal. His other goal is so that you may believe that this Jesus that you're reading about is the Christ, is the Son of God, and so that you may have life in his name. John's true goal is more than just intellectual knowledge. It is belief in Jesus. And for John, listen to me, this is going to be crucial. For John, belief is more than just intellectual knowledge. It is giving your whole heart, your whole life to Jesus. Basically saying, Jesus, if you don't do this, it ain't going to happen. If you don't change my life, nothing can. I've tried, I've gone to everything and done all of this. It's not working. It's not working. Jesus, you have to change my life. So in other words, John has two purposes. He's going to tell us all this stuff about Jesus. He's going to give us all of these stories, all of these miracles, all of these teachings, all of these interactions with people. And they're all driving us to one point, that Jesus is the Christ. Not just so that we can intellectually say, yeah, I agree with that, but so that we may place our whole faith, our whole trust, and our whole life on Jesus. So what do we walk away with today about John's gospel from a macro view and about John the person? Two ideas really quickly that I think we can walk away with today. And we've just scratching the surface of what God's going to show us through the book, through the gospel. Here's the first thing. Number one, if Jesus can use John, a blue-collar fisherman who didn't make it to get letters behind his name, right? There's no, right, PhD, right? There's no masters. There's no letters behind his name. If Jesus can use that guy, then he can use any of us. If Jesus can use a potentially young teenager who over the course of 3 years with Jesus would be a leading disciple in the group, after Jesus' death would be a leading disciple, and his ministry would continue well into his probably 70s or 80s, then God, Jesus, can use any of us to change our area of influence for His glory and for His honor. You don't have to have a certain level of education. You don't have to have a certain level of experience. All you have to have is a heart and a life that is fully dedicated to the Lord. And God can use any of us. Here's the second thing I think we can take home with us today, is that if we will commit to read and digest John's gospel, it will change our lives. John believes he's accomplished this purpose. I believe he accomplishes his purpose. The question is, are we going to spend the time reading John's gospel so its purpose can get inside of us? Now look, you got 18 months-ish. That is more than enough time. So I'm going to issue the challenge here on November the 21st at 11:50. 10 minutes early, by the way, just in case y'all are wondering. I'm going to challenge you to read through the book of John over the next year to 18 months. You got more than enough. You can read it twice. You can read it three times, right? Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the chapters are really long. Like chapter 6 is like 71 verses. Don't feel like you got to tackle 71 verses from the time you leave your house till you get to work if you're going to listen to it on your commute. Don't feel like you got to tackle 71 verses before your kids get up in the morning and you got to get up at 4 o'clock. Take it in chunks. Read one story. Read half of the story, because that 71 verses, a lot of it is a lot of back and forth between Jesus and these religious teachers who just don't get it. Just dedicate, hey, I'm going to read 15 verses a day. I'm going to read 10 verses a day. I'm going to read this story today, which is 20 verses. And tomorrow, I'm only going to read 5 because that's another story. Just dedicate some time to read through the book of John, because I promise you, it will change your life if you commit to do it. There's some beautiful stories. There's some beautiful passages. That whole scene with Nicodemus. Man, when Jesus is at the festival of booths and he cries out, I'm the bread of life. No, excuse me. I'm the light of the world. And I'm living water comes out of me. Man, y'all, I can't wait till we get to that passage. It's one of my favorite ones. It's one of my favorite ones. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branch. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. There are so many wonderful passages that you and I both need in our lives, that if we'll commit to read John and digest what we read, it will truly change our lives. All right, so that's what we're going to do. Next week, if you want to kind of get a jump, in the next 4 weeks, we're gonna dissect John 1, 1 through 18. So we're going to be in it for the next 4 weeks. We're going to take a little bit each time, a little bit each time, a little bit each time. All right, so go ahead and you can jump on that this week. But let me encourage you to read through the book of John in the coming weeks and months and year ahead. So that's where we're headed. I'm excited. I love the book of John. 1 John is equally as amazing. And man, Revelation. I mean, come on. Right? You just got to hang with me. We're going to get there. Right? We're going to get there. All right. So that's where we're going to be at next week. I hope you've enjoyed today. I hope you've got something out of it. I look forward to John's gospel. And I hope you do as well. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go home and we'll get ready for Thanksgiving. All right, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you that John's gospel can truly change our lives. Thank you that it can work a miracle in us, just as Jesus works miracles in the hearts and lives of the people that he comes in contact with. Lord, I pray that we would commit to read John's gospel, that, Lord, you would use it to change our lives and grow us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would move us in the days ahead into more deep, committed relationship with you, Lord, so that we can truly change our area of influence, so that we can impact the people that you put us in contact with. So Lord, I pray that you would grow us, that you would move us closer to you over the next few weeks and months. Lord, we love you. Lord, we are super thankful for everything that you do for us each and every day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.